Now go with me, if you will, to the book of Obadiah. I want to think about, that was the introduction to remind you where we are, what we're thinking about. I want to think about the city of Petra, the uniqueness that it has between Esau and Jacob, between the Edomites and the Israelites, the significance it has between past history and future prophecy being unfolded. First of all, I want to think about Petra as a place of pride. Then I'll think about Petra as a place prepared. And thirdly, Petra as a place of prophecy. The book of Obadiah talks about the location, the headquarters, the military headquarters, especially for the Edomites when they go into the Mount Seir mountain range. Obadiah, the smallest little book in the Old Testament, and probably the first of the minor prophets between Amos and Jonah, if you're still looking for it. Obadiah, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, but thou art greatly despised. Verse 3. Here's the reason that he's going to bring judgment. This is a judgment. This is a prophecy given to Obadiah, actually 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, approximately 250 years before the prophecy is fulfilled in the city or the little unique location of Petra. And here's the reason they're going to fall. He just said, you're small, the rumors come out, but you're greatly despised. Verse 3, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Thou that exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. He's describing the location of Petra. When they came into Mount Seir, they headquartered at Basra, which is the entrance city just outside. It's Wadi Musa today, the Wadi, the dry river bed of Moses, but it's Basra in biblical times, just outside the entrance of Petra. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Petra before. Oh, well, then you know, just you can picture it in your mind and hear the sounds and smell the smells already. Petra is one of the most unique cities in all the world. It's basically, let's say it's the size of this room right here, as for a model, it's basically 25 square miles. There's one entrance into Petra. It's called a sikh. That's an Arabic word meaning a narrow, high gorge. It is at some locations just about this wide, just a bit over 8 feet wide. It goes up to 30 feet wide. It meanders through the clefts of the rock for approximately a mile and a third. At some points, it's anywhere from 300 to 500 feet high. It's the sandstone with the different colors, the reds, the greens, the browns, the blues. It's beautiful. And as the sun moves across the sky, the colors change on the walls as you walk in. When you walk into Petra, you can understand how it was an impregnable city and why they would select it as their headquarters, their military headquarters. They could place three or four men on the tops of these rocks 500 feet high, and if any army tried to come in, just throw the rocks down on them and stop anybody. Put two or three men inside the sikh. When you walk in and through the sikh, you come into the location of Petra, and the first thing you see is the treasury. Now, we're going to talk about how this all came into existence. I'll tell you in advance, the Nabataeans did all the carving inside of Petra. They came out of Saudi Arabia about 500 years before Christ. But they have carved a beautiful treasury building. That's the name of it. They're not necessarily sure that's what it is. It's approximately 5 stories high. And the way these people carved it was they went to the top and they started carving down. They let themselves over with ropes over the top of the cliff and started carving as they came down. The way they carved out the 2-story high room inside was they broke into the cliff, they dug in, and started digging from the ceiling down to the floor. You can't dig from the floor up to the ceiling. It'd be very difficult to hold the sand up while you were digging. And so they dug it down. It is unbelievable. There is inside of Petra, they carved out a coliseum that will seat 5,000 people. Unbelievable place. We go there And I'll tell you what we do when I get to the last point here. But here is Petra, and located, and what they would do, they would live on the cliffs. You can see in Petra 2,000 foot high cliffs. On our video down there, the Daniel Papers, Martin and I go in. We ride horses into Petra. And in fact, we're sitting on a 2,000 foot high cliff with our legs dangling over the side. That dingbat Bart behind said, "Hey, you're just sitting here and laying over the side." Man, I'm having prayer as fast as I can do it, everything going. And he said, "Well, okay, let's get up and start talking." And I got up and I couldn't even stand. My legs were so shaky. But anyway, we get up. They could, in the clefts of the rock, you can see man-made caves. You can see God-made crevices up in these cliffs. And that's what it was like. They would just nest like the eagles in the clefts of the rock. And so if anybody was able to come through that seek and get into this impregnable city, they would just attack them. It was an impregnable city. But because of this defensive system was set up naturally in the clefts of the rock at Petra, God says to the Edomites, because of your pride, you may be up there in the clefts of the rock. You may be thinking you're an eagle that soar above all the problems of the world. I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to bring you down to the ground. Well, we'll talk more about that when we look at the destruction of the Edomites. This is the city that is the place of pride.